Three candidates are running for the spring AS presidential election. I spoke with one of the candidates, second-year computer science student Ephraim Shalinov, who is currently serving as an associated student senator. I asked Shalinov why he wanted to be student body president over other positions in AS. He spoke about there being a vacuum in true leadership due to previous presidents being embroiled in controversy, and said his role as a senator wasn't enough to solve important issues.
I've been in the Senate, and I feel like I've accomplished a good number of things in this role, and I'm starting to see that I'm reaching the ceiling of what's possible to accomplish with legislative initiative alone.
He stated negotiation with the campus would be an important way for him to solve problems caused by systemic issues like fragmentation and financial mismanagement in associated students, which then causes a failure to effectively deliver services. Shalinov went on to cite initiatives he'd been part of as a senator, including saving student health.
The university, in conjunction with Graystar developers, wanted to tear down the structures along Ocean Road, including the student health building, to build faculty housing without adding any new student housing. This plan did not include the construction of a new student health building. And as the community started to become outraged about this and started to start channeling that, we weren't seeing any movement from the university. And that's because fundamentally we had nothing to negotiate with. And at that stage, we recognized, and I authored a piece of legislation that since we fund a fraction of student health, and then the money that we give them is very useful for their operations, we weren't comfortable with the direction they were going. So we were able to freeze those funds, more than $1 million, and then start the negotiation process, which in the course of just a week and a half led to the result we wanted, which was a signed contract saying that no demolition would occur on student health prior to the full completion and operational status of a new student health building. That's a huge development that happened in an incredibly short time frame, which is basically unheard of in the huge UC bureaucracy. And the reason was is that AS did what AS is for, being radically pro-student and only working towards student interests.
He also spoke about how he wants to construct the ILP library bike path at UCSB, as well as address food insecurity, an issue he says solutions exist for, but students for the large part remain unaware of or unable to access. Lastly, he said AS should begin focusing more on delivering services than putting on events. On the topic of saving student health, the UCSB chapter of Young Democratic Socialists of America, a left-leaning student group which organizes around different causes and was the main student group involved in the initiative to save student health, urged students not to vote for Shalinov in an Instagram post. They stated he wasn't the main author of the resolution to address the lack of student health care, that he was opposed to, quote, the idea of leveraging the AS student funds budget against the UC, end quote, and wrote he made the suggestion that YDSA members throw paint at the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs' office so he could act as a, quote, reasonable mediating force, end quote. I asked Shalinov if he wanted to respond to these allegations, and how, if president, he would work with groups that disagreed with him. In response to the allegations put forth by YDSA, he stated their post is factually false and that their members are quote-unquote antagonistic towards him.
And that can be checked against both the Senate's records and reporting from the time. I invite people to read the Daily Nexus's articles from the time. I am, of course, the primary author on the legislation. That's just a question of fact.
KCSB News has so far been unable to verify this information.
And the reason for YDSA's antagonism toward me is their obsession with the Israel-Palestine conflict. And my answer to the second question is, it doesn't bother me at all. I think YDSA delivers some very valuable things to students. I think YDSA is able to mobilize a large number of students toward issues. They're able to get petitions signed, and that's great. And that helps us do our job. I don't care to argue over credit. I think a large number of people participated in a very serious project. But YDSA repeatedly asked for senators' help on this issue, and no one else was able to take up that call.
Shalinov went on to say that bringing international politics into student politics is something he's learned is not a good idea, and that in general, he's never had issue working with groups that don't agree with him.
I don't intend to comment on international affairs or my personal identity or my personal politics at all as president. My job will be to lead the Associated Students toward delivering actually tangible services and results to students, which of all candidates, I think I have by far the most demonstrated track record of doing.
He went on to discuss how other candidates were making promises in reference to international politics, likely referring to their commitments to advocate for divestment. Shalinov was one of the authors on the resolution to condemn Hamas after the October 7th attacks. I asked him if he considered this resolution to be a way of bringing international events into student politics, and he said while he stands behind that resolution, he doesn't believe it was necessarily the right course of action. He stated that moving forward, he doesn't believe there is a path towards commentary on international affairs within student government. I moved on to ask about how previous experiences and initiatives had prepared him for the position. He spoke about establishing the Controls and Compliance Office and acting as the chair to address financial misconduct in the form of poor bookkeeping.
And what we learned was not that there was criminal theft or embezzlement, but that there was a lack of financial training happening throughout the organization. And that was the kind of first hint that I had, that maybe there isn't enough leadership happening on the student end, because that's supposed to come from students and it's not. Different organizations didn't have any standardization in terms of financial reporting. And all of this started to form a pretty clear picture to me that, like, we're spending millions of dollars, but it's very clear to me that a large fraction of that money isn't spent well. By my estimate, over the course of the last 2 years, through various decisions that I've made and various initiatives that I've pressured for, we've probably saved, in the sense of, rather than spending them on something useless, spent them on something useful, somewhere in the ballpark of $1.5 million, which is a huge amount of money. And I want to be very clear, I'm not claiming some kind of personal credit here. I just want to point out that with some very common sense initiatives, myself and my colleagues, my team, were able to get some very direct results, which we see in terms of increased programming, in terms of increased funding to RCOs.
Shalinov went on to describe how being first president pro tempore of the Senate allowed him to gain experience working with both the legislative and executive body, as well as how he was able to act as a liaison to organizations, which gave him hands-on experience when making decisions related to them. He cited a recent controversy where a budget proposal from President Tessa Vexler planned to remove money from AS Program Board's lock-in fee rollover and would go to finance and business to redistribute the money.
And I think my unique position in terms of having worked with many of these organizations in the past gave me the opportunity to mediate that and work towards a resolution, which I'm hoping to close actually in the next couple of days, in terms of a plan moving forward of shared governance over that money.
Next, I asked what his top three issues were. Shalinov spoke about food security, the lack of campus parking, constructing a bike path between the ILP and the library, housing, and raising money to give to club RCO funding. He went on to say the key theme in not properly addressing these issues is that AS does not collectively put their weight towards them.
We direct a tiny portion of our money and a tiny portion of our attention toward it, whereas we should all together as a huge organization be applying pressure on these issues.
In response to food insecurity, as a senator, Shalinov recently proposed an initiative to have a mobile food pantry, which would act as an arm of the food bank and could deliver food to Isla Vista, Goleta, and downtown Santa Barbara. I asked if he planned to continue this work as a president. He said this may not be in his jurisdiction, but that he would intend to help it succeed and secure permanent funding for the project. I moved to ask Shalinov how, after a year of controversy, discontent, and disconnect, he would approach strengthening the relationship between student government and the student body. He said that while the student body is disconnected, he doesn't view there to be discontent with AS. He went on to cite improvements made in business units, including a higher rate of hiring, less money wasted, and an improved savings plan. To him, the main issue people had with AS revolved around viewpoints on Palestine and Israel.
The political kind of disagreements that occur in relation to faraway war and kind of disconcerting campus divisions don't take up my headspace. That's not what I'm working on. Sometimes I'm forced to be reactive. Last night, somebody spray painted in blood red the word Zionist over my campaign poster, over my name. Like, if I could address the person who spray painted that over my name, what I'd say to them is that they don't know me. They don't know anything about the policies that I've been acting. They see me as visibly and publicly and proudly Jewish. No, I'm not going to compromise on that. When we've seen a year of division, I see that, and I see that as an opportunity for next year to prove to people that AS can be so much more than a forum for expressions of discontent.
Throughout the interview, Shalinov made a few mentions of YDSA. The day before this interview took place, the Daily Nexus published an article stating that a student filed multiple complaints to the university administration against an associate student's off-campus senator and first president pro tempore, which was Senator Ephraim Shalinov, for threatening abuse of power and harassment. The Nexus went on to describe the incident. The allegation stated that a group of friends was tabling with YDSA and had a Palestinian flag laid out on the table. According to the allegation, Shalinov took issue with this, called them terrorists, and said they support the violence Hamas perpetrates and that they deserve to have it done to them. The allegation went further to say he also allegedly threatened to use his position in AS to hinder YDSA on campus. Shalinov denies the allegations in the article.
Three separate university offices have heard and dismissed these claims. They are malicious, they're false. I don't think that they're motivated by a hatred toward me for my identity. I think they're motivated by just a hatred toward me, frankly. I think it's really troubling that people would weaponize this type of language and devalue legitimate experiences of this sort by lying and inventing a narrative. But I think for constituents who are interested, I think that the key thing is this, that on October 10th, which was 3 days after a number of my friends had been murdered, I see YDSA, an organization I'd previously worked with, proudly flying a Palestinian flag. And while it, absent that context, that can seem completely innocuous. And in a vacuum, I invite people to kind of picture what flying an Al-Qaeda flag on, you know, September the 14th would have looked like in New York. Yes, I did talk to YDSA on October 10th. And yes, that conversation was not pleasant. But no, I obviously did not threaten anyone. I think that that is an incredibly serious allegation, which I'm glad that the university has heard and cleared.
He went on to claim that the Daily Nexus editorial has an anti-Israel slant and said the story was politically motivated.
I'm incredibly disappointed by the Nexus's editorial conduct here. I think that the Nexus knows very well what they're doing. The alleged event here is 6 months ago. They publish it 4 days before the election. The Nexus has an incredibly anti-Israel editorial bias. And quite frankly, this is a political smear.
Lastly, he stated there were legitimate concerns to contest his candidacy, but his views on Israel, as well as any connection he has to President Tessa Wexler, are not legitimate.
I asked him to clarify his point of comparison between flying the Palestinian flag and the Al-Qaeda flag to see if he considered Palestinian advocacy to be the same as expressing support for Hamas. He responded that he did not, and changed his analogy to that of flying a Japanese flag after Pearl Harbor, and that it was the timing of the flag that made the difference.
Flying the Palestinian flag immediately after October 7th attack, before any Israeli response, before anyone in Gaza had been killed, before any Israeli military operation, is incredibly clear to me what their intention was. Their intention was to celebrate the October 7th attack.
Next, we move to discussing the current president, Tessa Wexler, who recently faced a recall petition over allegations that she failed to properly represent the student body. I asked how he would ensure all students felt represented and advocated for. He responded that while he hopes to represent all identities, he doesn't think it's his job to represent the spectrum of political belief.
I think the biggest thing is positive and concurrent outreach. I think that where issues affect a particular community, it's important to have a representative of that community present to discuss it. My cabinet intends to be as representative of the school as possible, but moreover, I intend to have members of my team dedicated to constantly gaining feedback from students about issues that affect them. I think, kind of to answer the question you're not asking, in terms of specifically Muslim and pro-Palestine students who felt underrepresented by President Wexler, I don't seek to represent political views or political communities. I do seek to represent identity views.
Lastly, I moved on to ask if there were any takeaways Shalinov would want listeners to take from his campaign.
The biggest thing is that I have a track record of delivering on my promises, and I have a track record of delivering actual results for students. So if you want leadership that delivers, you should vote a friend.
With KCSB News, I'm Zoha Malik.